treat you bad. Didn't know just what I had, but honey, now I
back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking with us on this Friday morning. Ascension Technologies text line 251-343-0106 to be in touch with the program. Hit us up there. Still to come, our returning champion, we do it every Friday, State Senator Chris Elliott. That's in about an hour from now. Please make sure you stay tuned for that. But joining us now, always a pleasure to introduce this next gentleman. He is our Attorney General. Steve Marshall joins us on the line. General, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Happy Friday.
Hey, thanks for coming on. Happy Friday to you as well. You've been pretty busy here on a number of fronts. And we're waiting to see what's going to happen with redistricting, this three-judge panel any day now. Just you're just kind of on alert for that, I assume.
Yeah, we are. Yeah, the last submissions for us were last weekend, where we gave proposed findings of fact, and I do believe that this panel is going to work quickly, and would not be surprised to see a decision sometime next week.
Next week, so we're on high alert here.
There's no guarantee of when that is, but I won't be surprised to see it pretty quickly.
Well, we're on high alert now as it stands, but that's the anticipation. It should be coming sooner rather than later, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Let's move on to some other stuff. Speaking of 11th Circuit, you got some relief on this. The challenge to the VCAP legislation, for my listeners, that the gender reassignment or whatever it is, affirming therapy, whatever they call it, and the state had put in place a ban, I guess it was in 2021, and then it got challenged in federal court to put a stay on it. They've since lifted that stay, correct?
They did. And Jeff, I think really, if I look back, this is going to be one of the more significant victories that we've had during my, six and plus years as AG, being able to set aside that preliminary injunction that Judge Burke granted and to allow this law to ultimately be enforced. Now, we're not to the point yet where it can be. We still have to have the mandate be issued. But not only was this a significant victory for Alabama, but it also, now that 21 states have also decided to do what Alabama's done, and that's to protect kids from this this experiment that has failed in Europe, it's a big win for everyone nationally.
And this wasn't just Alabama here. This is a green light to a lot of other states that, maybe for whatever reason, they were kind of waiting to see how this would play out, I assume.
Yeah, and there's multiple states that have had litigation. One of the things that we've done is to use the expertise and the resources that we've developed through the work in this case to be able to help file briefs in other states. We've worked with Arkansas, we've worked with Tennessee, we've worked with Kentucky, we've worked with Georgia, we've worked with Florida, being able to support the efforts of their legislature. And the reality was that in multiple district court decisions for a period of time, including Alabama, states were not successful, but yet we had a breakthrough in the Sixth Circuit, in Tennessee's case, within the last month. And then the decision that we got from the 11th Circuit last week really was a monumental victory for us, because not only did it lay out the relief that we requested in removing the stay, but it also made it abundantly clear as to the appropriate standard for the court to use in reviewing whether or not Alabama has a vested interest in being able to protect its kids. And we think, under the analysis that the 11th Circuit offered, it makes our case very compelling now, but we also look forward to, as part of the work that we're doing, to expose the true fallacy and the deception that's existed in the transgender world as it relates to kids and what they're arguing and what they believe is the standard of care, when we think we're going to be able to highlight the fact that it truly is something that right now not only is using medication that the FDA is not approved for this purpose, but is also recommending treatment that's not recognized as appropriate in the situation across the country.
What were the plaintiffs were alleging that, what rights or what was being violated here? Because I think the court's just saying, hey, this is not something that is a quote-unquote right guaranteed by the federal government, but that they were claiming it otherwise.
Yeah, and it really twofold. One was an equal protection claim that this, the 11th Circuit completely rejected. It didn't say that Alabama was distinguishing based on sex. It really had to do with, you know, the type of treatment that you were using for males versus females and this transitioning, as they describe it. But going back sort of fundamentally, and I think what Judge Burke struggled with is the scope of the rights of parents in this situation to be able to make these decisions. And ultimately, this court kind of looked back to very similar to what we've seen with other analysis of a concept called substantive due process, is that there is no fundamental right given to parents in this situation to make decisions of medical treatment that the state has deemed to be inappropriate for children. And I think it really kind of weighed in very specifically on Judge Burke's initial assessment there and ultimately concluded that he was incorrect.
Joined by Attorney General Steve Marshall here on the program. General, let's move on to this is a kind of a fascinating thing, the way the Space Command drama has really played out. You have requested an Inspector General's examination of this reversal, this decision initially there in the very end of the Trump administration. It was this announcement was made. They were going to put Space Command in Huntsville. And then here in the last few months, the Biden administration has recanted and they have gone with Colorado, which was like fifth or sixth on the list or something. But you're involved here, and you wanted, or you're saying here that the IG needs to be involved and do an examination of this.
Yeah, absolutely. This sort of, Jeff, fundamentally goes back to kind of how I'm wired, and that's as a litigator, is that, you know, you want to be able to expose bias, and you want to be able to look to see when recommendations are given to governmental officials that they're done for the right reasons. And, you know, lo and behold, we hear that the head of Space Command, who is the one that convinced President Biden to not move it to Huntsville, but instead keep it in Colorado, suddenly has a $1.5 million ranch that he has decided to buy in that same area. And I think we're right to be able to ask the agency that really can go in and do a deep dive, that has already once looked at the decision to put Huntsville as the location and affirm that, to be able to find out what's taking place and what's changed, particularly when you know that General Dickerson, in conversations with our own congressional delegation just months before, said Huntsville at the right location, of course, never disclosed to them about this purchase itself, and then what changed. And clearly it was an objective criteria. And we know that they had the Air Force believe that Huntsville was the right place. We saw two separate examinations of the process used to select Huntsville be evaluated and be validated. And here, for what are obviously non-objective factors for that decision to change, we think that that decision needs to be exposed and the people have a right to understand why.
And do you, I mean, is this... Because this seems kind of out of the ordinary to me that a state AG would ask for this. I mean, is this something outside the box thinking from your office, or is there any precedent here?
I don't know if there's precedent for it as much as Jeff. I mean, I think we have a right to be able to stand up and defend Alabama. Uniquely, we have the right to expose public corruption. And look, when the General Accounting Office has the tools and the ability under the law to be able to investigate something very similar to what we could do here in the state, then I think it's appropriate for us to be able to make that request. I saw where Congressman Rogers similarly has sent a letter over there, but uniquely now he has the ability to use his committee to do some investigation. But, you know, my obligation is to stand up for Alabama. This is one of the ways that we can do it. And frankly believe that we have contacted an agency that has the ability to do something about it.
Well, and you know, is there any, I mean, and not to give too much away here, beyond requesting this, what are there any other tools perhaps that the AG's office could look at on this issue?
Yeah, I mean, it's something that clearly we've asked our staff to be able to explore. I think one of the things that we will pay attention to is the testimony that Congressman Rogers Committee is able to obtain from the work of that group, and then we'll evaluate what could be our next steps. But we clearly want to be able to be of assistance to our congressional delegation and our state leaders, and we'll look to see if there's a way for us to be able to help in this process.
General, another thing I wanted to get you to talk a little bit about, the ongoing prison saga, and this is going to be one of these things that has, your tenure, you're going to really be saddled with, or you already have been saddled with to some degree. Kind of where are we on that? Where do you think we are? What do you anticipate the steps and the timeline are?
Yeah, I mean, this is back to what, you know, we do, and that's litigate on behalf of the state. You know, we've got a few cases that are pending, one of which is in front of Judge Thompson that it was long since before I was here, involving mental health care for inmates, and that is continuing to work its way through the system. But I think the biggest case, and the one that you and I have talked about before, is the one involving the Department of Justice and our men's facilities across the state. Discovery is still ongoing. Our team is, you know, working to prepare that case. And Jeff, I think one thing that we've talked about before when you're sort of evaluating these cases is you look to the kind of the scope of the allegations and, number one, see whether to defend those. But also you can defend based on what the relief is that the other side is requesting. And I think that the defense of our case really goes to both of those questions. We think that the issues that the Department of Justice is raising with regard to all the men's facilities are too broad, but we also believe that the requested relief itself is too lengthy. And so we'll continue to have that discussion. You know, consent decree has been something that you've heard me discuss before that I think is an awful number one area of public policy. And it was probably kind of that last step during Jeff Sessions' time, that putting out a memo that talked about how consent decrees really are not a helpful tool in any way in resolving matters. But look, we remain open to having discussions, appreciate the work that the state's doing right now on the construction side, which I think goes a long way in being able to help some of the allegations the Department of Justice is making, and we're going to continue to defend the case consistent with our responsibilities to the state.
Well, you mentioned the construction and how important that was and getting that special session and getting that project underway. Does the, looking at it, It's gone probably a little slower than the governor and ADOC would have liked. Does that imperil you from your standpoint in defending this and keeping the DOJ at bay, or are they working with you here?
No, I think we have the ability to clearly show what Alabama is doing. You know, the fact that it's, you know, slower than maybe we would want, or that obviously inflation has not necessarily been our friend with regard to what we're costing out. Any judge that's looking at that is still going to see the efforts that Alabama's making, as well as the Department of Justice understanding what our intentions are. So we have the ability to be able to show what's coming and how that will impact some of the allegations that the plaintiffs are making.
And is this just going to be just a fact of life, a reality that we're going to deal with for some time now?
In what way?
Just that this is going to take a long, long time getting this resolved to where everybody is sort of in a, I won't say happy, but at a satisfactory place.
No, I don't think it's a long, long time. In fact, you know, you're going to have Judge Proctor is going to have a very specific timeline for litigation. Judge Thompson already has deadlines in place. So, I mean, there's a near-term litigation window that we're having. But, you know, ultimately putting in place whatever resolution that we're seeking, you know, doesn't happen overnight. And I think that's part of what would be in settlement discussions, if you will, between the parties as to what that would look like. But no, I think it's sooner than later as far as what the litigation's involved and are bringing this case to trial, and we're, again, preparing to be able to do that.
Last question we'll get you out of here on this, and I don't know if you even want to respond to hearing that the legislature's talking about tweaking the ethics laws Tightening it up, and just your thoughts on that? Do they, because they seem vague, whatever, and I'm not a lawyer, I'm only married to one, but whenever we have these discussions, there's a lot of ambiguity, and you could get three different opinions from the same on the same thing. I mean, is there a need to do something there?
Well, I think, you know, we've had the ability successfully to enforce our ethics laws during my tenure, and we're going to continue to enforce the laws that are on the books. But, you know, one thing that I do believe that the legislature can do is take a step back and look truly at kind of the function and the role of the Ethics Commission itself, you know, creating greater transparency in what it is that they do. And that's a separate question from looking at the laws themselves. I've had that very discussion with Representative Simpson about what that looks like. You've seen some, you know, very specific back and forth between my office and the Ethics Commission about the function and the role that they play and how it is that some of their decisions are made. And I hope that the legislature will take a look at that issue.
Generally, been very generous with your time this morning. Don't be a stranger. Stay in touch and have a good weekend.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you. That was Attorney General Steve Marshall there on the line. Yeah, that ethics stuff is going to be really hot buttony, I think, in the next 6 months or so. So keep an eye on that. 251-343-0106, text us. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Ford Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Montgomery. Right up over Spanish Fort into Mobile, my home.